Welcome to KUI News, brought to you by Student Media and UI's student newspaper, The Argonaut. KUI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Mollusca community, the country, and the world. KUI 89.3 FM is a student-owned and operated radio station, and all news and opinions are those of our student journalists and not those of our university. KUI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Mollusca community. For more information about Blot, navigate to blot.uidaho.edu. And now for today's newscast.
Welcome to KUOI News. It's Monday, October 24th, and I'm Britt Kaiser. On today's show, we have, in the news section, information regarding Walmart's grants to local schools, a piece on the new ASUI lobbyist, and a recap of National Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October. For RAR, it's Mixtape Monday. Stay tuned for spooky songs to ring in the Halloween season. For sports, a recap of the weekend's Vandal men's tennis, women's soccer, and volleyball. And last but not least for opinion, a piece about the Bora Symposium and what peace really means. First, here's Joanna with information regarding Walmart's grants to local schools.
Jacob Ellsworth, a teacher at the Moscow Charter School, Palouse Prairie School of Expeditionary Learning, spent his $100 Walmart gift card on a worm bin for his 7th and 8th grade class so they can watch the worms break down food waste to produce natural fertilizer. Ellsworth and the other 9 teachers at Palouse Prairie School received the gift cards as part of the Walmart Teacher Rewards Program, paid for by the Walmart Foundation. Jefferson Elementary in Pullman also received 10 gift cards. Sam Wen, Pullman Walmart personnel manager, said the average teacher spends about $500 on healthy snacks and school supplies. Nguyen said they chose the two schools by a drawing. Jefferson Elementary principal Craig Nelson said they drew 10 teacher names out of a hat to determine which teachers in his school would get the cards. Lizzie Bromley Vogel, Palouse Prairie School first and second grade teacher, said she spends about $600 every year on school supplies and craft projects for her students because the school doesn't have funds to pay for extra things. She said she plans to spend the money next semester to restock supplies and on new reading books. Palouse Prairie School is funded only by the state of Idaho and not by local levies, so the teachers all make a flat salary of $32,000 with no pay scale. Bromley Vogel said the teachers would only get a raise if the school receives more funding. Ellsworth said he appreciates any support the school receives from local organizations. For KUOI News, I'm Joanna Wilson.
Thanks, Joanna. And now over to Caitlin for a piece about the new ASUI lobbyist.
Bruno Bennett will become the voice of University of Idaho students at the Idaho State Senate as ASUI's new student lobbyist. The ASUI lobbyist lives in Boise for the second semester of the school year and represents the UI student body while the Idaho State Legislature is in session. Joe Black, former ASUI lobbyist, said the individual must be well-versed in government proceedings, passionate about the university, and able to communicate without being abrasive. Black said Bennett has got the right amount of intelligence and charisma. Bennett, an Idaho native whose older brother also held the lobbyist position 2 years ago, said he understands the importance of the job because he relies on state-funded scholarships and grants. Bennett has been involved in ASUI since spring 2011 when he became a senator. Black and ASUI President Samantha Perez were in charge of this year's selection. Black was responsible for recruiting candidates, and Perez joined him in the application and interview process to select the best candidate. Black said he thinks that overall, ASUI made a great decision for the university. The lobbyist's role is to represent UI in the state legislature and bring a face to ASUI policy and opinions officially established by the ASUI president. Bennett said, "Whatever way I lobby, it's not the way I personally feel, it's the way the university as a whole feels. I'm just a mouthpiece." Perez, Black, and Bennett agreed the lobbyist position is an excellent way for the student body to be heard. Bennett said, "I like the idea of students being involved in the legislative process. The legislators are just normal people from Idaho. They want to know our perspective and what we have to say." For KUI News, I'm Caitlin Crossolt.
Thanks, Caitlin. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and students and staff of the University of Idaho are doing their part by hosting functions throughout the month to promote awareness. Jackie Sandmeyer, a student coordinator at the LGBTQA office, said UI's awareness program as a whole was sponsored by the Women's Center, but it was students from the Introduction to Diversity and Stratification class that put it on. In the first week of October, there was tabling with information on breast cancer. Sandmeyer said the second week there was a movie in the Student Diversity Center titled My Breast. The movie was a true story about a woman who was diagnosed with breast cancer. Hornby said for week three, she worked with her manager at Pony Espresso, who informed her of a local woman going through treatment to fight breast cancer. Hornby said she got in contact with a few of her friends and put on a bake sale. She said they made approximately $200 in a couple of hours from donations alone. The woman who we donated the funds to was fairly young and had six children, Sandmeyer said. I don't think people realize how many financial responsibilities come up with treating breast cancer. The last event for Breast Cancer Awareness Month is a discussion on self-breast exams by Terry Gerzabelski, a physician's assistant from the UI Student Health Center, at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday in the Horizon Room in the Idaho Commons. She's very warm and accessible. She's the type of person you want working at a health center, Salisbury said. She's non-judgmental and very open to talk about any sexual or reproductive issue. Salisbury said her aunt had recently been diagnosed with breast cancer. She said because the tumor was found so quickly, her aunt was able to get it removed with minimum invasive surgery and was completely cured. I hope people go because I don't think many women know how to examine their own breasts, Salisbury said. There's definitely a technique that's underestimated. You should know exactly what you're looking for and what it should feel like so you can detect anything. For KUOI News and Summer Christiansen, I'm Britt Kaiser. And that was I Can Lift a Car by Walk the Moon. Now, here's Molly with her spooky mixtape this Monday.
Here are some spooky songs to start off the Halloween season. White Rabbit, Jefferson Airplane. One pill makes you larger, one pill makes you small. A song about numerous drugs that are guaranteed to mess you up. Don't do drugs. They're horrifying.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you.
The Patient by Tool. This song gives the feeling of a patient in a hospital bed, trapped. Draining patience, drained vitality, this paranoid, paralyzed vampire acts a little old. Life always has rough patches.
Draining patience, drained vitality, this
Hotel California by the Eagles. We are all just prisoners here, of our own device. And in the master's chambers they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast. Last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had to find that passage back to the place I was before. No one wants to be trapped in a hotel that takes your soul.
She said, we are all just prisoners here, of our own device. In the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast.
Thriller by Michael Jackson. May he rest in peace. If you haven't seen the Thriller music video, do so. It was probably horrifying in the 80s. Regardless, this song is still groovy. Monster Mash by The Misfits. Do you know how to monster mash? If you don't, there's a video for that too. Dental Care by Owl City. My dentist may have a sense of humor, but I still hate that place. Don't have a fit, this will just pinch a bit. Or a lot. I cried at the dentist once.
And with a smirk, he says, don't have a fit. This will just pinch a bit. As he tries not to grin. When I chance leave on long vacation.
Jeepers Creepers, Louis Armstrong. Maybe not a scary song, but it can be associated with the horror movie Jeepers Creepers. Besides, Armstrong knows how to bust a tune. For KUOI News, I'm Molly Spencer.
Thanks, Molly. Now over to Kevin to kick off our sports section with a recap of the weekend's women's volleyball.
The Idaho volleyball team's win streak was snapped on Friday with a heartbreaking 5-set loss on the road at San Jose State. The Vandals had won 5 consecutive games coming into the match and swept the Spartans in their first meeting, but for the second year in a row came up short against the Spartans. The Vandal streak was largely made up of home matches, as Idaho has been stellar at home so far this season, but the road once again proved to be an issue. Idaho coach Debbie Buchanan said the Spartans were a better team than their record showed, as they had just beaten Utah State in 4 sets earlier in the week. The first 4 sets of the match went back and forth between the teams, and it all came down to a pivotal 5th set. The Vandals had a 6-5 lead at one point, but the Spartans then went on a 7-0 run to take a commanding lead. Idaho battled back, but it was too little too late as the Spartans took the set 15-12, clinching the match. Buchanan said the match came down to her team not executing in the end. Senior Alicia Milo led Idaho with her 5th double-double of the season, totaling 18 kills and 14 digs, while setter Jenny Fite finished with 48 assists. The Vandals will now have to rebound and try to get back on track as the season will be quickly drawing to a close. The Vandals are currently in 3rd in the WAC and will try to keep that high position. The Vandals will have their final 2 matches of the season this week when they take on Louisiana Tech on Thursday and New Mexico State on Saturday. For the seniors, Saturday will be their last match in Memorial Gym. For KUOI News, I'm Kevin Bingaman.
Thanks, Kevin. And here's Chuck with a men's tennis recap.
This weekend, the Vandal men's tennis team traveled to Las Vegas. And like most people who head to Vegas, they were looking to win big. No slot machines for the Vandals, though. Instead, it was time for some tennis at the ITA Mountain Regional Championship. The men came out winning fast in singles on day 1, advancing 5 of 8 players through the round, all winning in 2 straight sets. Abid Akbar, Alan Shin, Andrew Dobbs, Cesar Torres, and Jose Bindek were the 5 Vandals who advanced. Unfortunately, the streak in singles play ended there, and Shin was the only to advance and was then eliminated in the round of 32. The men weren't done, though, and it was truly time to win it big. And this weekend, the winning ticket was the doubles bracket. On day 1, 3 of 4 teams advanced, with only the team of Clint Vedano and Philip Fichtel losing their match, which was against the number 3 seeded team in the tournament. 2 more teams fell in the next round, leaving 1 pair, the big winners of the weekend, Searcy and Dobbs, a brand new pairing for the Vandals, who were there to cash in. The pairing defeated an Air Force Academy team 8-5 in the first round, and then a Utah State team in the second round 9-7. Next, they met the number 2 seeded team in the tournament from BSU and won a tough match 9-7. From there, it was on to the quarterfinals, where they beat a BYU team 8-4, and the semis, where they beat Weber State's top team 8-5. All that was left was the finals against the number 1 seeded team in the tournament, Phil Anderson and Jaden Phillips of New Mexico. As it usually goes in Vegas, there could only be 1 winner. And after a tough match Sunday, Idaho's Searcy and Dobbs were the big winners. Director of Tennis Jeff Beeman was pleased overall with the results on the weekend. He said that, sure, he would have liked to gone farther in singles, but that everybody played really tough, and it was great to see Searcy and Dobbs win the championship. He said this is both great for them and great for the team. The first week of November, the rest of the team will be headed to Eugene for the Pacific Northwest Tournament, and Searcy and Dobbs are headed to the Big Apple for the College Indoor Championships, held on the same courts as the U.S. Open. For KUOI News, I'm Charles Crowley.
Thank you, Chuck. And now over to Sean with a recap of women's soccer this weekend.
The Vandal women's soccer team came to the weekend needing only a win to clinch a berth in the conference tournament. It wasn't pretty, but in the end the Vandals accomplished what they set out to do since the preseason. Idaho split their final two conference matches of the year this weekend at Guywicks Field, falling to Utah State Friday 3-0, but bouncing back with a 2-1 clinching victory over Nevada on Sunday. Friday's match pitted the Vandals against the coach's preseason pick to win the conference and the Aggies, and they were every bit what Schaller and company expected. After a physical first-half battle that saw the teams play to a scoreless draw, the Aggies came out on fire in the second half, scoring twice within the first 7 minutes of the match, effectively putting it away. The Aggies took advantage of the fact that Idaho had their fourth-string goalkeeper, Morgan Porter, playing due to accumulated injuries and a red card that kept the first three goalkeepers out of the match. Schuller said that Porter performed admirably and that there was little she could do about any of the three goals that the Aggies put in. That left the girls emphasizing the importance of having to beat Nevada on Sunday to control their own destiny with the WAC tournament. Chelsea Small gave Idaho the boost it needed when she took hold of a ball loose in the box and sent it towards the far post and in to put the Vandals a goal ahead in the 37th minute. Nevada equalized in the second half with an incredible free kick from near midfield that the wind carried just past the fingertips of goalkeeper Caroline Towles. But it was Bailey Hewitt who came up huge for the Vandals shortly thereafter, scoring the clinching goal, taking a delivery from Chelsea Small and shooting a rocket towards the back of the net. The Vandals held on for a 2-1 victory. The victory means the Vandals will be heading to Fresno, California for the conference tournament the weekend of November 4th. But first things first, the Vandals have a matchup next Saturday against the Boise State Broncos in an attempt to win their third straight Governor's Cup, which is a match between Idaho State, Idaho, and Boise. For KUOI News, I'm Sean Kramer.
That was Walk the Moon's track titled Quesadilla. Now here's Elisa with an opinion piece about the Bora Symposium and what peace really means.
What is peace? This is a question a few hundred students and attendees were not led to ask during Nobel Peace Prize winner and former president of Costa Rica, Oscar Arias Sanchez's speech, Human Security in the 21st Century, last week. I know that one day the goodness of humanity will prevail, concluded Arias at the end of his speech. We have a voice and a vote, so we can make changes. Peace can seem like a dream, but it's a dream worth having. Walking home afterward, a small group of us admitted we actually were not fully comfortable with the premise of this inspirational figure speech. Cutting the world's military spending by just 25% apparently could buy every child in the developing world a laptop. The salary of a single soldier could fund a single English teacher. These statistics at face value point at the warped priorities of our system, in which war prevails over the well-being of people. However, if we stop for a moment to consider these statements beyond face value, they are not only infeasible, but do not make sense for the lives of people globally. A laptop is probably one of the biggest participants in the Western industrialized rat race. Without causing any rise in net happiness, they are incredibly useful within the system we exist in. A Western system driven by Western priorities and ideals. Added to this, if every child in the developing world had a laptop, the electronic waste from this technological invasion would exponentially destroy our natural environment. We may not be around much longer to play World of Warcraft or type out documents that were once culturally evolved and valued handwriting. Replacing soldiers with English teachers also seems incredibly ideal until the concept of English as the savior to the underdeveloped world, a method for achieving peace, is considered. War is undoubtedly an industry. It employs people, it makes money, it is a form of trade and a construct of human and social relations. Sadly, it can even be a source of entertainment. It is tragic and is not something that ideally would exist at all. But without sounding like a complete pessimist, which I am not, humanity does not seem to ever exist without forces we consider to be good and bad. Pleasure does not exist without knowledge of pain. Perhaps peace does not exist without the existence of its counterpart. And then we come back to what the word actually means anyway. Peace. The cessation of or freedom from any strife or dissension is surely not the absence of physical war. Humans have developed further than this in spiritual and cognitive understanding. Poverty and pain are no more prevalent in sub-Saharan Africa than they are here. They just exist in different forms. For people who are depressed, chronically stressed, or lonely, no matter how much food they have access to, inner peace may be a long way away. It's important to remember to keep in mind different ways of prioritizing our existence. To plant a seed is the maximum act of faith, RDS said. This topic is far too vast to discuss in a column, but perhaps more than a simple call to fix the surface problems of the world, seeds will also have been planted at the speech. Perhaps in the end we will advocate for the cessation of strife that may be able to transform not just a distant, impoverished nation, but our own lives here and now. For KUOI and Bethany Lowe, I'm Elisa Egerin.
Thanks, Elisa. And here's your calendar of events for Monday, October 24th. There's a first-time study abroad information session at 10:20 a.m. in the Clearwater Room in the Commons. These are geared towards students interested in studying abroad and help to prepare for a successful trip. It is strongly recommended that students attend these prior to applying for study abroad. The first National Food Day will take place from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Bob's Place and the J Street Cafe. Campus dining will have a special menu of local foods as well as an information fair. It's Mad Men Monday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. in the Women's Center Lounge, Memorial Gym, Room 109. Students have the opportunity to watch the award-winning TV series Mad Men and discuss feminist and social issues within the show. The Physics Colloquium, presented by Jason Barnes with the UI Department of Physics, will be at 4 p.m. in the EP Building, Room 209. It is titled Variations in Earth's Axis Tilt Over Time: How Necessary is a Moon for Climatic Stability? The LGBTQ History Month film series, The Laramie Project, will continue from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Women's Center Lounge. This is the final film of the series that highlights the history of LGBTQ civil rights and activism. Stay after the film for a short discussion. It is free and open to all, and popcorn will be provided. And that's all for today's calendar of events. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser. That's it for today's newscast. Today's show featured music from Walk the Moon. Walk the Moon is an indie lyrical group from Cincinnati. For more information, visit walkthemoonband.com. Now, here's their track, Anna Sun. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser.
Screen falling off the door, door hanging off the hinges. My feet are still sore, my back's on the fringes. We tore up the walls, we slept on couches. We lifted this house, we lifted this house. Firecrackers in the east, my car parks out. Your hands on my cheeks, your shoulder in my mouth. I was up against the wall on the west mezzanine. We rattle this town, we rattle this scene. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by Student Media in conjunction with UI's Argonaut. For more information about news on this program, navigate to KUOI.org or UIArgonaut.com. If you'd like to submit a story to KUOI News, feel free to email us at KUOI@UIdaho.edu or arg-radio@UIdaho.edu. KUOI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Moscow community. For more information about Blot, navigate blot.uidaho.edu. And remember, KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Moscow community, the country, and the world.